Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and I've asked Tolga Komova, the Executive Chairman of Aston Minerals, ASX code is ASO, to come back and give us a bit of an update, because when we last spoke to Tolga was in January, in fact, to be specific, January the 19th, when they'd come out with an announcement about their big nickel project up in Ontario. More news out today, looking like this is getting bigger and better. Tolga, welcome back to Small Caps. Great to see you.
Thanks, Kerry. Thanks for having me on. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Tolga, you've come out with an announcement today, which we'll get onto in a minute. But when we last spoke, I think there was only a couple of drill holes that you'd got results back for. You were already very confident then. Tell me why you're more confident now. Tell our audience what today's announcement is about and what it means for Aston Minerals.
Okay, well, I'll talk about our announcement that we're putting out today in a minute. I'll probably start with the fact that we raised some money.
You did. You raised 29 mil.
Yeah. So about almost 2.5 months, 2 months ago now, we raised $29 million at 14 and a half cents. The shareholders that took the stock, they were all basically offshore funds out of North America and the UK. I'm also putting in $2.5 million at the EGM that's coming up, and Rob Jewson's putting in $250,000. So we're all in at 14 and a half cents like everybody else, which is exciting. So it gives us the funds to do the work that we're planning to do, which leads us on to what today's announcement's about. We drilled that hole, it was hole 76, and we hit 160 meters thereabouts of about 0.5, 1.52 from memory.
0.52, yeah.
And with some cobalt. And we decided we'd send that sample off to do some metallurgical test work. Now, we sent that sample to a group called XPS, which is a subsidiary of Glencore. They're based in Sudbury. These guys are nickel experts. They've been doing this forever, the team that's working with us down there. And we did first pass work, and this is very, very preliminary. So I'll give a bit of background. It's normally a company of our size that's doing the work that we're doing might not even have announced this, because we haven't done a lock cycle test, which is like a full test of what the recovery is and the concentrate should be. We got the results on just a simple 120 micron grind through the rougher, through a couple of stages of cleaners, and without recirculating the tailings to increase the recovery. Yep. We've just taken a sample, and at the end, they've basically evaluated we get a 60% recovery at about a 12% nickel concentrate.
Okay, let me stop you for a moment. Is that good or not good? For my audience out there, 60%.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's in terms of the recoveries, we're probably expecting that at some point it will get, we're going to increase it.
Yeah.
We realize that almost 72% of the nickel is reported to the cleaners. So once we recirculate them and refloat them and clean them again, we're expecting that to increase. Usually when you get to the cleaners, you're only losing 1 or 2%.
Okay.
Once you go through the process, but that's typical. But I don't know what's going to happen in our case. It's early days. We haven't done the work, but at the end of it, without doing the recirculation, we're getting a 60% concentrate, 60% recovery, which is great.
Yeah.
And then a 12% nickel con is clearly saleable. And we've got Vale and Glencore, who both have refineries near us, who would both be interested in buying that material. But again, it's early days.
Very early days.
First pass work. We probably will go back and the guys will do a coarser grind and see how much more they can recover. That doesn't go out to the slimes. There's a whole bunch of work with reagents, suppressants, all this sort of stuff that gets a little bit more technical from here. Which you typically you would do all that work before you even announce this to get a full and final report.
That was my question. Is why are you coming out with this now?
Because we think it's incredibly material. And the reason why I say that is I've had a lot of groups come through and talk to us, and people that have explained to me that they didn't think we could recover anything, and they didn't think we could make a saleable concentrate. And I'm like, we got that in the first pass test work.
Right.
Already tells us that it's there. And I'm saying this is the first analysis. Clearly, we're going to do a truckload more work when it comes to the network. There'll be, you know, we've got almost a 1.5-2 kilometer strike that we're working on. So taking samples from along the entire structure to do like a representative sample across the entire ore body that we're looking to, you know, basically what we're hoping one day to mine. And that's probably the key point. And then I've had lots of people say, you know, 0.3 nickel is typically just all silicates and it's in alloys. And again, within our release today, if you read, I think it's the third or fourth dot point where Glencore has done this work. They've done the analysis themselves, not us. It's them doing it and giving us the information. And they're saying it's the silicates in nickel and silicates and alloys is non-existent.
Non-existent.
It's non-existent. It's like the minuscule component of it. And I mean, there will be some, but it's like a fraction of nothing.
Okay. And just to explain to my audience out there, if you get high levels of silica and other elements, it makes it very
it's
difficult
impossible to process, recover.
And then you can't, you don't have a saleable product.
You just won't be able to recover it. It'll report to the waste. It'll report to tailings.
So my question is, why did so many people feel that this was going to be have such a high level of silicates? And you were like, and why did you say, no, I know it's not there?
The reason why they consider it to be there is normally deposits, lower grade deposits, are typically silicate hosted or alloy nickel hosted. So they host the nickel in alloys or in silicates. So it's typical. And I understand that. And I'm like, even I myself would be like, look, it doesn't make sense. I need to understand it more. But we knew straight off the bat, because when we did the first analysis of the actual core, the drill core, all of the nickel was reported in the ICP test, not when we were doing the hydrofluoric test analysis. Hydrofluoric is when the nickel that's in silicates and alloys gets liberated.
Okay.
The first stage of sulfuric acid effectively removes all the nickel sulfide hosted nickel. We already knew from the first point that it's gonna be nickel sulfides. This is the third time we're now saying it to the market, to be honest. It's like the third, and it's not even us saying it anymore. It's Glencore's report.
Well, you know, Tol, you know, you've got to tell them again and tell them the third time and they'll stand up and take notice. But I think the more important thing to look at here is this is a report from Glencore, which validates what you've been saying all along. So perhaps the naysayers will now take a look at it and say, all right, this could become in time, because it's very early still. And I think it's very important for people to understand this is early days. There's still a lot of work to be done. But what I would like to know is with this validation, mm-hmm. Do you think that people might start to sit up and take notice? Because what would you compare what you've got up there to other mines that are currently into production? Because we all know, Tolga, nickel is a very important part of the future of the lithium battery industry.
Yeah, well, we compare it to Mount Keith, but Mount Keith itself is from all the reports and the historical information I've looked at, is that that's 50% hosted in silicates.
The 50%. Nickel's in silicates.
Yeah. So that's a 0.5 deposit that has half of it is hosted in silicate. So it's a, and this is not.
So you've got no silicates whatsoever. Is that what you're saying?
It's minuscule. It's a small component of it.
Okay.
It's definitely there because we liberate it and we do have some losses of it. But when 70% of it, of your first initial met process, 72%, is reporting to the cleaners, of the nickel is reporting to the cleaners. That means that's already telling you a large component of it has to be in sulfides. The portion that's not reporting to the cleaners just yet, we had obviously some slimes, which we've got to do some work on, some scavengers, and there's all this work that we need to do to recover the nickel that's gone into those components as well.
Yep.
But again, I say it's early days, but it's already looking pretty incredibly promising.
So you've got this report out today. I want to know, because we know that your market cap is about 150 mil. This is a big deposit. The market probably hasn't really sat up and taken notice. What are you going to be doing with the 29 million that you've raised? Where does that get you to? Because what I'm looking for here, Tolga, is, I guess, where's the value uplift for current shareholders and potentially future shareholders? Why are you so excited about where you're sitting right now?
Yeah, okay. So we're funded to drill all the holes that we need to get a potential resource. We have a QP, qualified person engaged, that's overseeing the drilling to head to bring the deposit to a resource. And again, to all the qualifiers, I'm saying potential. Yep. There's lots of work to be done. He's got to qualify it. He's got to agree to it. We have to get the results.
Yep.
But having a very large resource with just a recovery number that we've already got, you can do a back of the envelope calculation as to what this project could potentially produce. I mean, you're talking about already something that's a kilometer, two, three. Well, it's up to us what sort of scale we want it to be. But
how deep is it, Tolga? Like we're talking 0.5.
I think we've drilled to about 500 meters. It's very obvious what the deposit looks like. It's just a big structure that's probably 200-400 meters wide in areas and goes for 3 kilometers. Trending northeast, southwest, and 500 meters deep. So you can do a back of the envelope.
I was just about to say, so if you did a back of the envelope, it's a billion potentially. By the way, this is all early days, ladies and gentlemen. So none of this is written in stone, but potentially this could be a billion tons of nickel that is sitting there at an economic and simple to process deposit. And I think that's the key, isn't it, with nickel deposits? If it's easy to process, that means that your processing costs come down and the numbers, in other words, the profit margins go up.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I don't want to talk about economics just yet because we're so far
away from it.
But today's number, we're saying on a very, very simple, holistic view, we got 60% recovery on a first pass test work with no recirc. So it doesn't need to be a billion tons. If it was a billion tons, you know, that's if you build a massive 20 million ton plant, that's 50 years of mine life.
Yeah.
If it was that, I mean,
that's a lot of capex. So let's not get too far down the road at the moment. What I want to find out, Tolga, is that money you raised, you've got to do more drilling. Talk to me about, do you have your drawings? Do you have your people in place? I'm sitting here talking to you. What are we, the 20th May, 24th of May, something like that. Sorry, forgotten the date. What are we looking at going forward into June?
I think we've drilled about 30 holes already into this thing. So it's all the results to come from them.
Yep.
There's going to be ongoing metallurgical work, which is the two key drivers to this. I mean, it's just defining how much you've got and how much can you produce with what you've got. So that'll obviously feed into a study of some sort at some point. But one of the key takeaways from this is our project is not in Indonesia, and it is in Ontario, Canada, where I think they pay about 5 cents a kilowatt hour as compared to probably 25 to 30 cents in Australia. It's all hydro, it's all clean. And again, I say we've got two smelters right near us.
So we're in a
pretty strong position, and it's the right part of the world, and it's the right cost structure. And again, today's numbers are telling us that we're excited about what the metallurgical prospects are like, so the processing capacity and the fact that we can make something that has serious value.
Can I ask if you've had some of the big boys coming? I mean, obviously Glencore have done this report, so they've clearly potentially got their eye on the prize. I mean, this is a big structure. It is early days, but are there conversations? Are you allowed to say whether some of the big boys are coming to take a look?
I guess it's
the validation, isn't it? Because a lot of people said before this, you're not going to be too much silica. not going to be able to get it out. You won't be able to process it. Is that right?
That's basically it. That's what everybody has told us from day dot that's actually looked at it. And then the funds that came into the stock went through that information themselves. They went through what we'd already announced, the petrography, went through the ICP numbers and the when we're doing the initial work announcement on the results, yep, the drill results, and then said themselves, well, it looks like it's going to have to be in nickel sulfides, and what we're telling you today is that it is. So people that are highly educated, highly competent, looked at it just in terms of the drill results and said that it can't be, because typically it's not. Except where we are, there's a fault that runs through this structure.
Yeah.
Which obviously it brought up the nickel sulfides in the form that they're in, and millerite and ferrolerite and hazelwoodite and tempentlandite, and deposit along the actual structure. So yeah, now it's a matter of, it's not us saying it anymore. It's the lab that Glenmore owns is saying it to us.
Yeah, I guess it's third party validation. What if any challenges do you see with the project? Is there government support? Because as I mentioned before, nickel is it's a pretty important commodity at the moment. There is a widening gap in the supply demand. I mean, this is not a mine that's going to come on in a year, ladies and gentlemen. This is very early stages. So, yeah. Is there government support to get this underway?
Our First Nations, the groups that we work with in country, they're all obviously they work for us, they're part of the team, and we've got a great relationship with them. But Canada has put nickel and cobalt and all these lithium onto the critical metals list in their current budget that they announced recently. They've got all sorts of incentives to explore for, develop and operate these projects that produce these minerals. They've got this view that they want to turn Quebec and Ontario into this battery raw material processing hub, and this would fit perfectly under that banner. So from that perspective, we're in the right place. I mean, you got Elon Musk going to Indonesia to invest in nickel mines.
Yeah.
So, and again, they're processing using coal, like the amount of
hydrogen.
Yeah, CO2. We're using just hydropower. So yeah, we're in
hydropower.
Unique position for us to capitalize on. So it's in the right place, right jurisdiction. The scale is there. The met work, we've just come out with initial work. And again, I'll say it's early. There's a lot more that has to be done to prove it up to the point where it can go into a report and a feasibility study, but but we're on the right track.
How important is scale in terms of making this a very significant project? And I go back to what I asked you before in terms of other nickel mines around the world. Would you put this in one of the top four? Is it important to have scale and easily process? Because at the end of the day, if it's difficult, it creates a cost factor.
Yeah, this is not a laterite project. This is nickel sulfide. There's no complicated things, processes in this. It's simple crush, grind, rougher flotation, and then cleaner cells. There's no technical, they aren't doing anything special with this. There's no blast, there's no furnace as such, where we're roasting using HPAL and all sorts of other things. This is a very, very simplistic process that's been done all over the world. So from that perspective, the work we're doing, that's what it's proving. In terms of scale, if we've got something that's incredibly large, and you know, if you're auto manufacturer, you want security of supply. If you want to make and invest in your downstream source, you want something that's going to be able to satisfy your needs, not for next year, not for 3 years, 5 years, 8 years. You just want to be able to do it for as long as you need to. So we're in a unique position. I mean, again, we haven't got a resource yet. It's early days.
No, I understand that. Would you look at potentially taking on a partner? Because all these things do take time, but if you had a big investment, can you fast track it a bit more?
Not really. I mean, we've got four rigs there already. So we're all drilling out the deposit. The samples that are in the lab, like the guys in Sudbury, they're doing the test work for the met work. They're working on this project every other day, like all the time. So in terms of fast tracking it from here, there's not much we can do except for, you know, in the next 3, 4, 5 months. I don't know how long it's going to take until we get all our results back and get a resource out. But
yeah,
that's probably the first point. And then from then, we'll go and talk to all sorts of different groups as to the next steps and the feasibilities and all that stuff. It's but yeah, it's that might be fast tracked. Having said that, where we are in the world, in Sudbury and Timmins, it's like mining capitals of the planet. Like that's all they do there.
That's all they do there. Yeah, yeah.
There's Sudbury's been producing. I think it produced for 50% of the world's nickel for 100 years. Like there is that much nickel expertise sitting inside Sudbury, from all the Falcon Bridge and Incote and Vale and Glencore. That yeah, the access to people that have knowledge in developing mining, you know, operating and processing these minerals is vast. So again, it's in the right part of the world to do this and to discover something like this, which is kind of still gets me sometimes. I'm like, how do we discover this thing 120 kilometers north of Sudbury?
I know well, actually you initially weren't even looking for nickel. You were looking for gold from memory.
No, we were looking for gold and we're disappointed when we're like, you know, these sulfides that we're hitting, we've got hundreds of meters of it. This is going to be one exciting gold deposit. And then turns out we've got pentlandite instead of gold. So, you know.
Sometimes fortune favors the brave, as they say. But one of the things, Tolga, we haven't spoken about is the cobalt part of this. We've spoken all about the nickel. Where does the cobalt fit in and how is that going to affect what you're doing or improve?
Yeah, well, it's just part of the process. It's again, we haven't done enough work on it to be able to talk about conviction, but
it's there.
It's there. It's part of the positive potentially value add to the nickel component. But I mean, yeah, until we finalize all this network, I'm not going to be able in a position to talk about it from an economic perspective. Sure. But it's in the ore. It's definitely part of the deposit.
Okay, so give me the big picture for the rest of 2022. Results coming out, 4 rigs on site. What are some of the other milestones that you're going to hit along the way in 2022?
Or hopefully? So the whole idea is now to work aggressively towards a resource. I mean, we're going to have a pretty large resource, I suspect, from what we've seen so far and what we've announced so far. And that's probably the biggest catalyst. Then we're more of the network. That's probably the next catalyst. We're funded to do all this work, so we're not in a position to we're not asking anyone for money at the moment, but then it'll get to a point where we've done all that and we'll go and speak to some corporates, some majors and OEMs, and see who's interested in working with us going further from here.
Well, Tolga, you know how I like to finish off these conversations. Last time we spoke about the three reasons people should sit up and take notice, and one of them was the low power supply. But I want you to give me another three, a different three.
The world needs nickel. I was reading a report from BHP, and now don't quote me on this, quote them on it. They're like, in the next 30 years, the world needs 34 times the nickel it produced this year.
Holy moly, really?
You're like 34 times. I'm like, put that aside. How do you get one times more?
Yeah.
Like, nickel deposits are rare. Nickel sulfide deposits are even rarer. So I'm of the view that a lot of these smaller or these deposits that weren't looked at are potentially going to be in production at some point over the next, you know, I wouldn't say 30 years, but so that's probably the biggest catalyst. If this electric vehicle boom is what it looks like it is, and it's already, you know, a steam train going. Yeah. It's going to need all this nickel. It's going to need all this lithium. It's going to need all this cobalt and graphite. My old company, Syrah, even with them, it's here. So for those aspirations, for those auto manufacturers to do what they're planning on doing, and you don't have to look very far. Just go on Benchmark Minerals website. They've got it's a map of the United States of North America, and it's got all the battery plants that are planned or in construction in the United States, and you're like, for them to be filled,
yeah,
the raw materials required is insane. So a lot more nickel, a lot more lithium, a lot more cobalt needs to be developed and built.
Wow. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. He's up there looking at what's going on. He's proven up the fact that this is going to be able to be mined down the track. It's still early days, but they're well-funded to get towards that resource estimate further down the track. Exciting times, validated by Glencore. Tolga Kamova, Executive Chairman, Aston Minerals, thanks so much for chatting to me today. Come back when you've got some more results, and let's keep the market up to date.
Thanks, Kerry. Appreciate it.